This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it. In his book Mastery, George Leonard writes that we all aspire to mastery, but the path is always long and sometimes rocky, and it promises no quick and easy payoffs. So we look for other paths, he tells us, each of which attracts a certain type of person. Now, what are those types of people, those types of personas that he's talking about? What he's talking about, they come in the form of three different personalities: the dabbler, the obsessive, and the hacker. And each of us identifies with at least one of these personalities, if not some combination of all three. And if we don't know what to look out for in these personalities, then the traits of them can derail us completely from whatever path of success, meaning, and mastery that we are on right now in our lives. And so what you want to do is be able to recognize the dabbler, obsessive, or hacker within yourself, so you know what not to do as you pursue success, as you achieve your goals, as you improve your life, as you pursue the path of mastery in your own life. So let's go over each of these personas one by one so that you know what to look out for, what to do, what not to do in your own pursuit of mastery over whatever craft it is that you are working on in your life right now. Let's dive in. The first personality that Leonard talks about in his book is called the dabbler. The dabbler is the kind of person that really loves the high that comes from doing something new. New job, new hobby, new relationship, they love it. They'll approach each new sport or career or relationship with tons of excitement, tons of enthusiasm. They'll tell all their friends, they'll post about it on social media, they buy all the gear, right? They love the shine of newness. They don't mind putting in the initial work, by the way, to learn something new, because they find joy in that initial spurt of progress that we all feel when we're learning the basics of anything new. But the moment a dabbler hits a real plateau, right, when they really got to put a little bit of work in, some real work, especially if it causes them to lose some of the initial progress that they made, what do? They quit. They quit and they move on to something else. For example, dabblers love starting new jobs, right? They're so enthusiastic beyond belief about a new career opportunity. But when the peak in their new job begins to wane, they look elsewhere for another opportunity. Give you another example. Dabblers love learning new sports or new hobbies. They'll sign up for tennis lessons, for instance, and they'll buy the freshest gear, the coolest tennis racket, and they're elated when they learn how to hit a tennis ball. But when the progress slows, when their instructor tells them it's going to take a couple of years before they can really play with the big boys or really hit the ball at a level of expertise, it pisses them off. They don't want to do that. They don't want to put in that long-term work, that long-term effort. And so when progress slows and they realize it'll take time to perfect their stroke, they decide that maybe it's better to try a different sport or a different hobby or a different relationship or a different job. Dabblers especially love to make excuses for reasons why they're not doing anything, why they're bailing on something, right? They specialize in excuses and rationalizations. They'll say this new job or sport or relationship or hobby or whatever just isn't for me. They're surprised when they see sharp stalls in progress. They'll tell you it's too competitive or that it's not competitive enough. They'll say it's too boring or too dangerous, or they suddenly realize they don't have the time for whatever it is that they're doing. And then, after they've adequately rationalized why they should quit, the dabbler does what they always do, and they set their sights on something new. So the dabbler in a nutshell,
They start something new, experience the highs that come with quick results, they hit a plateau, and then they create an excuse to quit and move on to the next thing. Obviously, this is not a path of mastery. It's not a path of long-term fulfillment. Let's talk about the next personality trait that Leonard describes in his book, Mastery, and that is the obsessive. Now, the obsessive is the type of person that only cares about the bottom line. Results, 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 and fast, baby. Give me results now. Imagine the executive pounding on the desk, right? Saying, what's the bottom line? Give me the results, baby. Give me the results. What are the numbers? Ah! And so, you know, when the obsessive hits a plateau, they're just as pissed off about it as anybody else, especially if, for instance, like the dabbler. But rather than quitting like the dabbler would do, the obsessive, they double down. They redouble their efforts. They ignore the fact that mastery takes sustained effort over time. And they don't really mind putting in the effort. It's the time that they've got a problem with. They don't want to put in the time. They want to get that tennis stroke right, and they want to hit the ball perfectly from the very first lesson. And when they can't, what do? They push even harder, because working even harder is going to get them the results that they want. And so they push and they push and they push themselves to create a continued upward curve, but they push themselves too hard. And in doing so, they run out of gas. They run out of steam. And so what do then? They look for shortcuts. Shortcuts, of course. And as they try to continue on the path and as things get increasingly difficult, they look for more and more shortcuts, more and more cheats and crutches to get them the results that they want. And they might get temporary results, and they might look like they're getting those results, but sooner or later, they always crash. The obsessive becomes so obsessed with results that they don't even realize they're undermining themselves in the long run with these types of shortcuts. And so some examples of the obsessive that Leonard describes in his book, Mastery, is something like the typical bottom line corporate executive that we see today. They strive to keep the profit curve angled upward at any cost, even if it means massive layoffs, right? Sacrificing research and development, sacrificing long-term planning and profitability. They'll just do a massive layoff, no problem. They'll fire a bunch of people. You know who reminds me of the obsessive? The obsessive is somebody like Jack Welch, who was managing GE back in the 90s and I believe into the 80s. And this guy, you know, he was an obsessive bottom line type of executive. He didn't give a shit about anybody. They literally called him Neutron Jack, because the guy would have the biggest layoffs in corporate history. That's what he's known for. And so right before the end of a quarter, sometimes he would just lay off massive amounts of people. And that way, he could take those people's salaries off of GE's payroll and show that they were making more money as a result of having done so. And so that way he could pad his numbers and make himself look good. But that's not adding value. That's just ruining a bunch of people's lives to make yourself look good. And what you'll notice is, if you look up GE's stock numbers and their graphs back when Jack Welch was the CEO, you'll see it looks like a freaking roller coaster. And especially after he leaves, right after he leaves, boom, everything dips. And you could say that it's because he's not the CEO anymore. But really, it's because he's not padding his numbers and lying and doing massive layoffs anymore. But I'm not going to riff on that. It's just an example of an obsessive type personality. And that's the first person that I think of, this jackass Jack Welch. And so the obsessive wants results now, right? They want them immediately. And to give you another example from the world of relationships, right? The obsessive does everything that he can do to keep his relationship alive. But his relationship ends up becoming a roller coaster ride with stormy separations, passionate reconciliations. They'll, you know, shower their person with gifts and all this stuff, but it usually ends in the demise of two people. One, the obsessive, and then the other, innocent person maybe, who is in that relationship but ends up suffering the wrath of the obsessive. So the bottom line with the obsessive type personality is that you can't master calculus if you don't master algebra, right? This person is always trying to jump ahead and do things and get the results and achieve their goal without putting in the work, the real work required to do so. Again, like if you never properly learn how to juggle three balls, you'll inevitably drop everything when you try to juggle four, right? You got to learn how to do the basics first. But the obsessive refuses to understand this. They reject that mastery is cumulative, that it requires a solid foundation, and it hurts them terribly over the long run. So the obsessive in a nutshell is this. They experience an upward curve, they hit a plateau, they get impatient, they try to push past it and move on to the next level, and then they run out of gas and experience a sharp downward decline. Obviously, no mastery there. And the third and final personality that Leonard talks about in his book is called the hacker. Now, the hacker, the third personality, is a bit different than the dabbler, a bit different than the obsessive. Hackers, they begin reasonably well, and they make decent progress at whatever it is that they're doing. But at a certain point, they stop caring. They just stop giving a shit. And once they've learned enough to feel comfortable with their situation, they stop trying to improve. They remain in their comfort zone. In other words, they're happy with the status quo. And sometimes they don't even realize that they've put themselves in cruise control. They might think that they're performing their job rather well, for instance, but they have no idea why they're not getting promoted, right? Because they're not going beyond, above and beyond what it is that they have to do. They just do the bare minimum, sometimes less. They look for ways to get as much as they can while doing as little as they possibly can. And that's not really what a master does. And I'm talking about in terms of mastery here. And so in terms of mastery, you don't want to hack your way through life. You want to do as much as you possibly can to grow and to excel and to be extraordinary at what it is that you do. And so the hacker is not that. The hacker, in a nutshell, is this. They just hack away at things without working to improve their skills and grow beyond the basics. Obviously, no mastery. So the dabbler, the obsessive, and the hacker, those are the three personalities that can derail you from pursuing the path of mastery in your own life. And, you know, you might possess one, two, or all three of these personas in different situations in different parts of your life. But no matter which style it is that you really embody, you're still going to end up far short of mastery if you don't break the habits that are associated with them. And that's really the point of learning about these three personas and which of them you identify with most, to understand why you may not be on the path of mastery, and to then start taking the appropriate actions to get off the path of the dabbler, the obsessive, or the hacker, and to instead get on the path of mastery. And here's a great way to start. Here's what you can do. You want to identify which of the three characters that you identify with most. If you haven't already felt it or made those distinctions as you were listening to this episode, you want to grab a pen and a pad maybe and replay this over again and figure out which of the three characters you identify with most by making just a quick list of a few things that you've tried recently, whether they be skills or sports or jobs, etc., and how you approached those things. And that way you'll realize, you'll show yourself whether or when you are a dabbler or an obsessive or a hacker. And once you know your tendencies, it'll then be easier for you to recognize them when you're pursuing the path of mastery over something that you really care about in your own life. And I think it's so important to be able to do this. Personally, for me, I've had dabbler tendencies in the past, right? I'll start something, I'll get all pumped about it, and then I'll just let it go. I'll start a new project, I'll get all pumped about it, and then I'll let it go. And it's never really led to much. It doesn't amount to anything. And I've experienced that. And so I realized, okay, if I really care about something, then I need not dabble in it. I need to master it. I need to go deep. And whenever I get those dabbler tendencies, I immediately catch it, right? Boom. And then I get back on track. And some of these things are harder to break than others. And that's okay. But you want to begin by understanding what negative tendencies you lean towards and then fixing them. All right. Listen, that's all I've got for you on today's episode. If you want the full book summary on this particular book called Mastery, you can pick that up over at getflashbooks.com. And until next time, you know what to do. Go out there every single day and keep on living like you give a damn. It's Dean. Listen, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. If you found this episode inspiring, or if anything else you've heard on the show has helped you or made an impact on your life in any way, I'd really appreciate it if you showed me a little love with a quick review over on iTunes or on whichever podcast platform you tune into the show on. Every single review helps us reach and inspire more people to live like they give a damn. Listen, if you've got self-help questions of your own that you'd like me to answer live on the podcast, hit me up over at meaningfulhq.com. You can submit them over on the contact page, or you can just shoot your questions directly to me at questions@deanbakari.com. Thanks again so much for subscribing, sharing, and tuning into the show. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's because of you and tens of thousands of other listeners from around the world tuning in every single week, week after week, day after day, that we are able to continue creating content to help you crush it and make an impact in your life and at work. So thank you for being part of this and continuing to share the podcast with your friends, your family, and anyone else you think it could help. Until next time, this is Dean Bakari telling you to go out there every single day and live like you give a damn.